This morning's question is one that's another challenging one in some ways, but a really good one. And it was about forgiveness. And the question that we're going to explore this week is, how do I forgive when it's so hard to forget? Sometimes maybe even I can't forget. One of the greatest gifts and blessings that God has given us is relationships. Relationships within our church family here, relationships in our own, like, our own families, relationships with friends. We have this beautiful thing that we've been given, to live in a relationship with one another, and to share experiences together, and to do life together in so many ways. And this is something that comes from the very beginning of Scripture. We see that God created people to live in community, to live together with one another. And we see that all these different ways in which we have been blessed to live with one another, these are all gifts from God. And they're intended to enrich our lives. They're intended to make them better. Again, whether it's marriages, whether it's our church family, whether it's even just friendships that, I mean, I have a number of friendships that I can just kind of pick up, and it's like no time has gone by when I spend time with these friends. These are all meant to enrich our lives and to bless us, but if we're going to be honest, on the other side, right, relationships are not always, like, that's the good side of relationships, obviously, but the other side is that sometimes they're really difficult. Sometimes the relationships cause us hurt and pain. Sometimes from places we maybe expect. Sometimes from places we maybe don't expect. And the people closest to us, right, interestingly enough, often have this ability to wound us in a way that is unlike any other person. See, this can happen in so many ways. A careless wound, a broken promise, a betrayal of trust. Maybe it's a conflict that's never been resolved. And these experiences can leave us with lasting scars, deep scars sometimes. And the reality is, and the Bible addresses this, right, is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is, if you want to say, maybe infected by sin or affected by sin. And so none of us are immune to being hurt by other people. This is inevitably going to happen to us at one point or another in our lives. We can almost, like, expect this to happen just because until Jesus returns and sets all things fully new, we're going to have to live with the effects of sin in this world and in our lives and from how it works in the lives of others as well. But the Bible is remarkably realistic about this reality. Now, it never pretends that relationships are easy or that we'll somehow be able to avoid conflict or disappointment, right? These things are just part of the world in which we live in. But the New Testament actually assumes that that from time to time this will happen, like we said. We find so many commandments throughout the Scriptures because of this fact about being patient with one another, giving grace to one another, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. All these things that, again, are not super easy. So forgiveness is one command that's frequently given to us in the Scriptures. It's given to us in a number of places, And as much as it comes up as often as it does, it is probably one of the most difficult commands that we can face. One of them. There's a number of difficult commands, of course, but this is one of them, I think. It's difficult sometimes to put this into practice because we understand what we're supposed to do. Like, we get the idea of forgiving somebody. We understand what that means, maybe what that looks like. But it's really hard to put that into practice sometimes, especially when we think about the pain and the hurt and the things that come along with it. We may genuinely want to forgive, but knowing what forgiveness actually is and living it out, this is the tension that we have, that we're faced with. So what does biblical forgiveness really look like? How are we as followers of Jesus supposed to respond when people genuinely hurt us? How does this work? How do we continue to walk in this way when, you know, sometimes these moments are just like a one-off thing where it's like somebody makes a comment and you forgive them and it's fine and then it's resolved. But how do we continue to walk in this way when the pain or the result of the hurt that's been caused to us, how do we continue to walk in this way when that lasts and goes on? The answer to this question, we have to begin ultimately where we start with the gospel. We start with the call from Jesus himself. In the gospels, we're called to forgive. This is our basis. We have to start with the fact that this is something as Christians that we're called to do. We're called to forgive. Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered him, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Or Mark 11. Jesus says, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Or Luke 17 says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." These are challenging verses. But we can look at these scriptures and hear these words and read these passages. But the thing is that forgiveness is not always easy. More often than not, it's really difficult. Like we all know. We all know very well. This idea of not being able to forget, this is a popular saying, right? Forgive and forget. Sometimes we're just encouraged to take this sort of mantra or this mentality where you forgive and you forget. You say the words, and then you forget about the offense, and then you move on. But what happens is that's not what the Bible says is how we ought to forgive. Forgiveness is not just forgiving and forgetting, or saying the words and forgetting. That's not what the Bible teaches. When we come to the Bible, we find the biblical writers affirm, again, that we live in this broken world, and that this means that sin and brokenness and hurt inevitably is going to be experienced, is going to continue. And so, you know, our bodies and our minds, they have a way of remembering these things. They have a way, there's a way in which when we're hurt by others, it impacts us in many ways. It could impact us psychologically, it could impact us socially, it could impact us physically, or maybe even spiritually in some cases. But more than just remembering only in our mind kind of way, it's like our bodies can tend to remember in ways that go beyond just our mind. And the effects of when people hurt us can go far deeper than just our head and last a lot longer than just a fleeting thought in our mind. Even after we say, "I forgive you," we find that there's more work to be done, because other things tend to come up even after we say the words, "I forgive you." We come to find that the desire for revenge might arise. Maybe we experience bitterness. Maybe we experience anger. Maybe we experience just a deep-seated hurt that we just can't let go of. And so it becomes apparent very quickly that forgive and forget isn't really a viable solution for us. It doesn't solve our problem. It doesn't really work, right? Because the reality is we often can't just forget about it. I don't know, maybe you guys can. And if you figured out a way to do this, that's great. I want to know, but I haven't figured out a way to do that yet. If we look to what the Bible says about forgiveness, we find that it's not just something in our minds, it's also something that sits in our hearts as well, as we look to what forgiveness is. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, from it flows the springs of life." There's other verses as well that talk about the heart, our heart being the center, the control center of our bodies, the way in which everything flows out from us through our heart. It's the center. We see other passages like Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So there's a heart. There's something that has to go on in our heart when we think about forgiveness. Something that has to happen in the heart. These passages, along with some of the other ones we read from the Gospels, address the need for our human hearts to be genuinely transformed through the process of forgiveness. The Bible speaks to our relationships, of course, like we've talked about, and what would these relationships with others should look like, and it gives us some guidance when we think about how to live life with other people. Throughout the New Testament, there's a ton of warnings regarding our heart posture toward others as we live alongside them. Hebrews 12 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitterness grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Or in Romans, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' thus says the Lord." And Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "No one can repay, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." As followers of Jesus, again, the community that we've been given with other Jesus followers is such a blessing, because it means that we have opportunities to come and to worship together. It means that we have opportunities to have people come and pray for us and encourage us and point us to Jesus. It means that maybe not seen as a blessing in the moment, but it means that we have the ability to have people come alongside us and call us out and redirect us when we really need it. Hopefully in a kind and a loving and gracious way. The fact that we have this community of like-minded people, we can come together as this community, all of us who love Jesus, who want to glorify him, this is a blessing we should not overlook. And I'm getting a little bit repetitive, I realize, but this is something we should not overlook, the blessing of the gathered body, the blessing of community that we've been given. Now, that being said, right, again, the tension that we face, the tension that we all recognize right from the beginning of this message, is that even within community, with people who ought to know better, there's always the potential to be hurt. It's still a reality. And again, the Bible's fully aware of this. I want to make this clear. The Bible's fully aware of this. And so we find verses in the scripture like Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, say, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." So there we go. It's as simple as that. I think we can be done now. Are we good? Is that clear for everybody? Okay. No, it's not quite. There's a little more unpacking we need to do, of course. So the assumption here is that believers will continue to live in the world. And that the assumption is that forgiveness needs to be practiced repeatedly, because our relationships continue. They continue before an offense, and they continue after an offense by someone. And so how do we bear with one another? How do we do this well? The answer to this question is an important one. Again, we're remembering, right, that forgiveness is not only something that's rooted in our mind, it's not only rooted in the words that we say, but it's rooted in our heart. It's rooted in our heart posture as well. And so we remember all things come through us from in and up through our heart and out. And so how do we practice biblical forgiveness? What does this look like, biblical forgiveness look like? There's six important things to take away when we think about biblical forgiveness. More practical things for us here. And the first thing that we come across when we look at what the Bible says about forgiveness is that forgiveness requires a heart change. This is in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In all things, there is a way in which our minds and our hearts and our bodies, like all things, we're supposed to be transformed and renewed as we orient ourselves towards Jesus. And this is where we need to begin when we think about forgiveness, because if we're not thinking about the heart, if we're not thinking about the heart, we're going to have a surface-level forgiveness that even when we speak those words is not going to satisfy. We need to start deeper. Forgiveness requires and begins with a heart change. The second thing with forgiveness is that forgiveness is a choice that we all need to make. It's an active choice that we all need to make. The feelings of hurt, the feelings of grief and anger, they will remain possibly for a long time, but biblical forgiveness does not require these feelings to disappear immediately anyway. Not immediately, that's the key word. So biblical forgiveness, if we think about what the Bible says about it, it involves choosing not to seek revenge. It means choosing to entrust justice, setting everything right. It involves giving that burden to God, because that's His burden to carry, not ours. It's not our job to set the world right. It's not our job to set somebody else right. Like, yes, we're called to, we are invited within the community of believers, especially to hold one another accountable. Yes. To come alongside someone and say, hey, I think that this is kind of a problem, or hey, maybe you should consider doing this instead of this. Or we're called to that for sure. But we're not called to fix every problem. We're not called to fully bring about justice. We're called to do our part, but we're not called to fully and completely bring justice. That is a burden that only God can carry. The third thing about forgiveness is that forgiveness does not require forgetting. This is a really important one, again, because this mantra can just be something that we just live out without thinking, forgive and forget. But we need to sort of remove that from our vocabulary, remove that from our lifestyle. Why? Jeremiah 31 says this. God says in the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31, I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel, with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors. He says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. So you might be wondering, that seems like a contradictory passage, because I said it doesn't mean forgetting, but yet God says He forgets. What's going on here is not when God says He will remember sins no more. It doesn't mean that they just all of a sudden disappear like they've never happened. They still happened. And there's still consequences, and there's still things that come as a result of the sins of people. But when God says, I will remember them no more, it's not that He necessarily loses knowledge of them, but rather He chooses not to hold them against His people. It's more of a posture and a choice as opposed to like a removal of a memory. Does that make sense? This is a little bit of a confusing thing. I just want to make sure I'm tracking here. Hey, do I get any nods? Is anybody awake? Okay, we're good. I see a couple nods. Yeah. Very similar to our call, the call to, for us, to the choice to regularly forgive. In the same way God chooses to forgive, and that's why we have that call, that's why we have to model that choice as well. Because that's part of what God does and how we're to reflect the character and the nature and the love of God is that choice to forgive, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. It's fourth thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. This is an important clarification here, because if we understand and recognize that we have to understand that there's a difference between these two things, forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, they work together. They work together in so many ways, but there is a difference. And what this means for us, if we recognize the difference, is that as believers, we can forgive, even from the heart, and we can forgive, even when the other person on the other side refuses to repent, however, restoration of trust, the restoration of the relationship, that might not happen right away, but that's not in our hands. That's actually in God's hands, and that's the part of restoration. Forgiveness is the beginning part. Forgiveness is the part that leads to restoration. That leads to that's the first step, if you want to think of it that way, to the renewal of the relationship or the renewal of ourselves or the other person. But we need to begin with forgiveness. We need to begin with the forgiveness. Number five, forgiveness does not eliminate consequences. We see this story. Maybe you're familiar with the story from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 12 with David and Bathsheba, where David sins. And he commits this sin against another. And he's forgiven, but there's still consequences. Forgiveness and consequences can coexist. A person can be forgiven and there's still face maybe legal ramifications or relational consequences or even practical consequences as a result of the actions that have been taken. And then the sixth thing we have, so forgiveness is an ongoing posture. And we saw this already in Matthew when we looked at what Jesus taught about forgiveness, that Jesus said 77 times forgive, he says to Peter. And he says this because not to give some numerical limit, but because he's describing the idea that it's that our heart should continually choose mercy over bitterness. Again, let me clarify and be clear in this, that sometimes forgiveness is a one-time decision. Sometimes. But often, especially after deep wounds, it's a decision that needs to be reaffirmed repeatedly, especially as these painful memories that our bodies and minds can hold on to, especially when they return. It's a decision that we need to repeatedly come back to and make. So we circle back to the beginning, the question, and we look at the question of how do we forgive when it's really hard not to forget? And again, what we've seen, if we look at this sort of big picture scope on what the Bible gives us in terms of forgiveness, we see that how do we do this? We do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do this through a change in heart, a change in mind, a change in attitude, through a change that can't come on our own strength, that can't come in our own power, that doesn't come no matter. Like, we could try as hard as we want. It doesn't come through us. We model God's forgiveness through the power of the Holy Spirit out toward others. We forgive despite remembering, because forgiveness, like I said, is the first step towards reconciliation. And that's the goal, right? That's the goal here. And that's what this question sort of has in mind, is like, okay, we can forgive, but like, the heart, what we desire ultimately in these moments is to be reconciled. What we desire is for that relationship to be renewed. What we desire is for that hurt to be settled so we don't have to hold on to it. What we desire is to not feel the burden and the weight of hanging on to the anger or the shame or any of those other emotions that cling so deeply to us. That's the desire, and that's the work of restoration. And that's a different work. That's another sermon for another time, maybe. But that work begins when we posture ourselves and in a manner of forgiveness. This is what we want to move towards. And let me read just one other scripture for us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. It's important that we remember that no matter how deep the wounds go, because they may go deep. Because for some of us, again, this is not an easy thing to talk about, forgiveness. Some people may, maybe some of you have experienced betrayal from a close friend. Or maybe abandonment by someone that you trust or trusted. Maybe you've endured years of mistreatment, or maybe it's manipulation, maybe it's abuse. The reality is, and I want to make sure I state this here, is that not all wounds are equal. All sins are equal. All sin is sin, but not all wounds are equal. Some of them go deeper than others. And we need to see that Scripture never minimizes the seriousness of sin. It never minimizes the seriousness of sin. And it never dismisses the depth of our wounds that we receive as a result of the sinfulness of others. Never. Never, ever. The Bible never asks us to pretend that evil is not evil, it's not there. It never asks us to call something good, even though it's not. It never asks, the Bible is not excusing sinful behavior. It's not pretending that these things that happen to us, that they don't matter, that they don't have an impact, okay? The Bible is aware of these things, and it doesn't dismiss these hurt, the pain, all these things that we face as a result of others. But what the Bible does point us to as well is that the cross, it points us to the cross as a reminder of how seriousness the sin is. I mean, it shows us, we see this picture, this beautiful picture of Jesus hanging on the cross and he's hanging between two thieves and he looks out and he says, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." The cross is proof that God does not ignore sin. It's proof that he intends to fully deal with it completely. This is what we come to remember. This is what we come as we bring all these things to the feet of Jesus in prayer. As we come and we ask God to say to empower us through his Spirit, because we need his power and his strength to empower us to have a forgiving attitude and heart and posture. We come and this is the beauty of the cross, is that we can come and bring these things to the feet of Jesus. The cross is ultimately why forgiveness is possible for the Christian. It is ultimately why forgiveness is possible, period. So as we come, forgiveness, like I said, is a really challenging thing. It's really hard. But the reason that forgiveness is so important, because it matters, is again because this is the picture that the Bible gives us, that Jesus went to the cross, and through his sacrifice on the cross, God forgave us. And so we have to live and model that out for the world to see. Because that is the type of forgiveness that's countercultural, that goes against the way of the way that people usually think about this. That is a something that if we model that and live that out, truly has great power to change not only us, but others as well. And again, that's the goal. That's the goal, to come and to place these situations into God's hand, to trust that he will do what is right, let go of these burdens that we carry, know that God is good, that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and to know, to come and just say, Lord, I still trust you. To say, God, even though this hurts, I'm going to surrender it to you, and I'm going to try to let it go. Lord, help me to forgive as I have been forgiven. And as we do this, again, the transforming work, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit begins to move and change us and change others. And that is the goal. That's what we're looking for, is restoration that comes through forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, God, thank you. Thank you for modeling your forgiveness for us. Thank you for forgiving us, even. God, we don't deserve. You've given us in your grace and mercy more than we deserve. And God, as we think about forgiveness and we think about the Bible's call on our lives for us to forgive one another, just as you have forgiven us, God, we ask that you would strengthen us for that task, because that is not something that we can do on our own. That is not something for many of us, and in many instances, that is a weight that is too much for us to bear. But thank you, Father, that we don't have to bear that on our own strength. God, as we go from here, as we conclude our time together in worship this morning, would you continue to challenge us with your word? Would it sink deep into our hearts and in our minds? And would you move us to apply it to our lives directly, intentionally, and clearly, God? Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way in which you speak to us. And God, thank you for we thank you for who you are. God, you are so good, and we have so many reasons to be thankful. Would you be with us as we go from here this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.